fuck! It's time for Live from the Five Hole. Fax us from UncleDale.com and the Sam Fells, but who's buying newsletters? Official weekly podcast. I am here. I am Sam Fells, your host, author, and editor of said newsletter. I am delighted to be here to talk about Hard Hawks hockey in the middle of July, about moves in a summer I'm just so excited about. So, of course, we are in fatal four-way formation with the usual crew. Leading off with Dr. Viral, he is the biggest jackass, no talent in the business, and he's the CEO of Wrestling, or WBCW, on Wrestling Brain's Twitch channel every Monday night at 9 o'clock Central. You can find him on Blue Sky at Twerk Penderloin. It's Andrew Cieslak.
I'm anti-upset in the World Cup, as people.
Yes, you are. And you're right to be.
Nobody wants to watch Austria play Croatia in a.
Nobody wants that.
Game.
Nobody wants to watch Austria do anything.
Yeah, they haven't been relevant since like 1830.
I'm not interested in their Olympic hockey team. I'm not interested in their soccer team. Nope. I'm not interested. I am not interested.
I'm not interested in their dictators. None of that.
They're
Habsburgs.
Okay, the Habsburgs. Sorry. I'm only interested in the last Habsburg, and only when you call Brad Marchand his love child. He is working the ones and twos for us tonight. He's our supervising technician and our technical supervisor. You can find him on Blue Sky at Matt McClure, but please don't. And in no way will he take it personally and indignantly the Hawks' moves that we were about to discuss. He's Matt McClure.
Hail Satan.
Hail Satan. And last but not least, he's the archivist. He's the goal line assassin. He is the oracle of Humboldt Park. You cannot find him on Blue Sky at Fifth Feather, but he might find you. He's lurking in the night. It's Fifth Feather John.
Sam, you may not know this.
I don't know anything.
I have goaler fever.
Soccer
goaler. What does that look like?
I'm breaking out in hives.
Is
and
it
I'm
terminal?
And I'm diving at balls.
Don't you break out in goop like Grant Fuhr?
No, it's a different goaler.
You got
different goaler fever.
A different goaler fever.
John, have you ever read the book Soccernomics?
Yeah, I think a long time ago, yes.
You did. They do a great little chapter on penalty kick game theory by goalkeepers. It's very interesting.
Okay. Yeah. I'll have to reread it.
I think you'd like it.
That might not be a cure for your goaler fever. we'll discuss your goaler fever in the hopes of breaking it later.
Okay.
John, I'm going to start with you because you have a habit. And it's one of the things I love and hate about you.
Jesus.
That you see the depth of things that I don't see. You see the wider picture. I rant and I rave and I rage. But you take a step back. You see the whole passing scene. And you can then parse it out for me.
Okay.
Which generally calms me down. It makes me feel better, which I love. But the fact that you always get one over on me makes me hate you.
I get that, yeah.
So you understand.
Yes.
So, by now, everyone who listens to this shitty little collection of morons knows how I feel about the Hawks' acquisitions before and after July 1st. I have said that the one thing Kyle Davidson could have done, and hedge his bets a little, is to hold off on extending Bowen Byram. Give him 40 games, give him 50 games. Now, if he sucks, and let me go on the record, I think he will suck, and you let him go, you're going to look like a moron. But I was arguing that you will look like lesser of a moron than signing him to this $12 million a year contract for the number one defenseman that he's just not going to be. And it's your out. You can say, okay, I fucked up, but I got us clear of this. I can start over. Now he can't start over. What am I missing about that plan?
I don't think I can get the big picture here for you, Sam, because their big picture is that he is an elite number one defenseman.
Okay.
And that's how they see him and view him.
And they don't need to audition him as a top pairing player for the first time in his career at all. They don't need to see what it looks like for 10 games, for 20 games. They're just like, nope.
We believe in you. Yep. This is our guy.
This is, you're it. You've done nothing to prove that you're this guy. There is no number out there. that suggests you are waiting in the wings to be a Norris contender, because he's, make no mistake, they are paying him Norris contender money.
Correct. They are paying him significantly more than arguably the greatest defenseman of all time in Cale McCarr.
Not for long.
Yeah, not for long. Yeah,
but still, as it stands right now.
As it stands right now. Well, they're not, because that $12 million doesn't actually kick in until next year, as a faithful follower pointed out to me, and you were right. By the time he gets that $12 million, Cale McCarr will probably be getting $16.
Well, he certainly did Cale McCarr and Quinn Hughes a huge favor.
He certainly did. And maybe that was his goal all along.
The defenseman.
Now,
he has many goals. He has many goals, and we're not talking about on the ice.
Yeah.
Just ask him.
The only way I can figure that out, my plan would go wrong, right, is if you trade for him and you say, you know what, we're not going to hand you the deal yet. We want to see you on our top pairing for half a season, three quarters of a season, whatever.
Run this power play. Let's see.
Is that Byram says, well, fuck you. I'm going to ball out, and then I'm walking. But if you pay him enough, he doesn't walk. Like, if he's that good.
Right, and then at the end of it, like, what is that really going to cost you? Maybe an extra $1 to $2 million on the cap. So
right.
if he, you know, is your Norris Trophy finalist this year, prior to getting the $12.5 million extension, then he probably comes in at $13.5-14 million next year. And again, like, if he hits the UFA market. It's going to be a different landscape than it is this year, where everybody's going to be flush with cap space.
Mm-hmm. Question: did he have a no move?
He does now.
Yeah, he does now.
Did
he?
Did he going into this trade?
No, of course not.
No,
you
no,
can't.
No.
You that's, can't. That's you why can't, they had on right. RFA deals. You can't no move on anything that's RFA years. You can only no move
right. So
on
that
UFA
was part.
Years.
Of, yeah, right.
My and point is the Hawks had the leverage and they just.
His
go.
Only leverage would be saying, I'm not going to sign there. Trade for me, but I won't sign here. That was his leverage.
Yeah.
But that's ridiculous, because like if he plays well and the Hawks want to keep him, you just offer him the most money and he'd stay.
But that's my point in our chats has been the league is just like this. It's not even just the Hawks, because I think the question I posed to you all was, if the Hawks didn't make any trade offers for him, the Sharks probably would have traded for him for like the 9th pick or whatever. And then they probably would have offered him an extension, too. I mean, they picked up Darnell Nurse, and everyone's pissed off now about that over in Sharkland. So,
well, just no because team another team immune. Would have done something stupid.
I'm saying the league is built on people just doing stupid things and handing out bad contracts over and over again. That's like the story of every offseason, and you see it in every headline you read. I can show them to you. No, bad money, bad paper, bad this, bad that.
I've read the headlines, Flack. But that's not, I mean, like, if everyone else is doing it, it didn't work for me in high school. It
and
doesn't
to be
work
clear,
for Kyle Davidson.
I'm not excusing it, but it's like, it's one of the things I think is, it keeps me from getting overly invested in the sport, is that this, the way the system is set up is just so asinine, and it just keeps getting worse. It's like putting code on top of bad code over and over again, and you end up with a game like NBA 2K, where just nothing works.
I've never played NBA 2K, so I couldn't tell you.
Well, there's no point now.
Yeah, clearly. Well, I mean, that's all I got. I don't know what else to add.
Well, they broke you. They broke you by making him the highest paid defenseman. All I will add to that is that it won't be for long, Sam. He will not be the highest paid defenseman for very long.
And McCarr will pass, but he'll still be like top five.
Yeah, for the first couple years, I would think.
Right.
It doesn't
but I can name 20 defensemen better than him off the top of my head.
Right.
It doesn't
at
undo
least.
The fact that you had this, you know, clean operation with cap space and all this wonder and possibility, and you blew it on this, and everybody's making fun of you. Like, it's just worldwide.
Oh, no. They're out of town stupid.
This is where I get angry. And I get mad because... Well, we know the real reasons I get mad, but I'm not going to go into that here. And look, Jay Zawoski's our friend, and I like Jay a lot, and we see a lot of things similarly. But you can't go on the radio and call me out-of-town stupid. You can't call every athletic writer out-of-town stupid who are crunching, showing you every number possible, every metric, every stat, everything you want that says this guy is not a top-pairing player. He just isn't. There is not one expert out there, Even Mark Lazarus, who will give the Hawks every break he can just so he can keep his readership, has come out and said this is a terrible deal. Both the trade and the contract.
They do. They hate
What's
him.
What's that?
His readership hates his guts anyway, but go on.
Right.
But they still read him. Yeah.
Yes.
But he'll go out of his way to try and color things because people want to read good stuff about their team, not criticism. And this is what we find. We know this.
We better than anyone.
it's one of the paradoxes of being in the blogosphere or podcastosphere. It's easier to write about a team that's bad. There's more material. But people would rather read about a team that's good where it's harder to come up with stuff.
Correct.
But anyway, even with like everyone is just like, this is terrible. This is a bad trade and a bad contract. And my favorite point was made by Lishushin. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Curtis, yeah. Curtis Lishushin. and he pointed out that even if Byram is some gem to be unearthed, even if you see something that no one else sees, but you're right, the appeal of that player is that he's supposed to be cheap either in trade or in contract. You're supposed to steal him from the team that doesn't value him. You're supposed to pay him less than he's supposed to make and the production he'll provide you. Kyle Davidson went 0 for 2.
I'm just curious because I don't think he's the only person that thought this. So how many, like, we always talk about...
Well, no, I think part of the value in Byram or acquiring Byram, Andrew, to what you said, is the fact that he had a no movement clause, or he did not have a no movement clause. So anybody, he could have been traded to anywhere. So anybody had a chance for him. You see, like, with all these guys that are coming up for deals, Zach Werenski, Darnell Nurse, they all have either limited or no move clauses, and they give you the same three cities over and over again. And so there's nowhere that these guys can get moved to without moving heaven and earth. Whereas with Byram, he's still young enough where he has that draft pedigree where he was the fourth overall pick.
I was just about to make this point, John. Most GMs in the NHL still have a Pierre McGuire gene.
Yeah.
Where they're still referencing things that happened. Remember when he was talking, I can't remember what capital grunt it was. It was been in the league 10 years. He's like, well, this guy had 120 points in junior. What skill this team has. And it's like, he's been in the league 10 years. NHL GMs still see that number four pick overall. They probably still have the scouting reports. They, whether they were GMs or they were scouts or whatever.
Well, clearly like, Kyle was pounding the table for Byram at the time.
Oh, I really like this guy in what was it, 2019? Was that the draft?
Yeah.
18, I think. Yeah, 19, 18. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, I really like this guy then. Everything I think still applies. The 6 years he's been in the league where he can't stay healthy and he can't dislodge anyone else on a top four pairing.
And this will be his third organization.
His third organization that thought he could be something.
And also
that
his worst
matter.
Organization, which is cool.
Right.
Well, and that's the thing, too, by the way, that they think they're going to unearth shit. What defensemen have they developed? Ever?
Arguably Alex Vlasic.
Since Duncan Keith.
But that's it. And all he is another Alex Vlasic. They're the same guy.
He's smaller. More expensive.
Except he's smaller.
So you're condensing.
Way
you're,
more expensive.
You're condensing all of that size in and making it more expensive. That's how I'm saying.
Here's
condensing and expensive.
Here's what's going to happen. If Connor Bedard's both of his shoulders hadn't exploded, which, if you haven't heard, they have.
At a practice.
Worst
case
scenario. Yeah, at a practice in July, because it's a practice. Worst case scenario, he'll miss training camp. No one cares. Here's what's going to happen. Hawks power play is
we'll
going
to
shoot something. Hawks power play is going to shoot like 65% for October, just because everyone's going to be like, "Oh, look, everyone was wrong, but Kyle and Jay Zawoski, we're idiots. This was a great pickup." And then they'll have like five more power play points the rest of the season. That's just how these things work,
right? But he'll have that reputation of that first month, and everybody will just
it'll never wash off.
Yeah,
well, it washed off Burkowski. He had
he's Russian.
Like 3 weeks. Is he?
No, he's Swedish.
He's just, he's not
is
Russian.
He?
Yep.
Yeah.
He's a Swedish tribesman with a Russian name.
So he's like Sasha Barkov, who's Finnish.
Yes. But he's got a Russian pappy.
How many, do you think Darren Payne thinks he's Russian?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we do.
So there you go. So he still gets the Canadian coverage Russian tax, even though he's
lazy,
not Russian.
Floaty.
Even though Darren Payne also thought he was from Portage Park and called him Burakowski.
That's exactly right.
All right.
Okay.
Next question, John.
Okay.
I said it was opening night, but you might have a different opinion. What number game will it be that Vlasic is paired with Ian Cole as the Hawks' quote-unquote shutdown pair?
Oh, boy.
Opening night, PK.
Well, can Ian Cole play his offside D? Did they establish that?
He's right-handed, isn't he?
No, Ian Cole's lefty.
Oh, he can play his offside. Who cares? He can't play anything with the puck.
Right. I would say probably by week two.
Five games in, max.
Yeah. They're gonna start pitching that. By the way, I do think it's funny that their propaganda campaign for Louis Crevier to be a top pair shutdown defenseman.
He was a future Norris candidate too.
Yeah, that came to bite them on that trade.
Well, because, I mean, it killed them to trade him, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, but well, all the freaks were just devastated by it because they were told forever that this was a top pair shutdown defenseman.
Twin Towers.
He's
going to
turn
into Chara
just...
now that he's gone.
By the way, I am absolutely a hypocrite. I will love it if Crevier is good for the Sabres.
I have no doubt that that Lindy will use him correctly to where he's going to look like an asset.
Yeah.
Lindy's a lot of things, but he's not a moron.
Watch him like win the hardest shot competition too at the All-Star game. Everyone's like, ah.
Yeah.
Where'd this guy come from?
Give up on this guy.
Holy cow. He's a delight. A marketing team's dream.
Seventh round pick out of nowhere.
It just says it seems like Kyle just can't help himself on July 1. He needs to sign a washed veteran defenseman.
He's a mark. He loves con men. That's all it is.
He does it every offseason and every year. It either blocks somebody that deserves a chance or
Kevin
makes the team act.
Or
makes the team actively worse.
It doesn't
or
block
both.
Somebody, John. It blocks Kevin Korchinski. They just don't want him to play, even though he's the only defenseman they have who knows what a breakout pass is.
And he's their guy. I mean, he was their first overall, like their first pick of all time of the regime.
Yeah,
and it was a trade that they feel like they had to win because that was DeBrincat. That was the first domino to fall in your teardown. And they just don't seem to have any sort of motivation. To help him out in any way.
Well, the funny thing is about that is, you know, DeBrincat and Kevin Korchinski have the same amount of playoff goals.
Yeah. They do. They do.
They do.
Has he played in any playoff games?
No.
And he won't.
That's unreal.
If Dylan Larkin gets traded, they're not going anywhere. Come on.
Be funny if they did, but I wouldn't be laughing.
No, I wouldn't find that funny.
We must keep them out.
But I don't think I need to worry about it.
No.
Anyway, all right.
Yep.
Those were your two questions.
I don't know what else to say here. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, I'm trying to gather my thoughts on this, but like, the thing that I find most disturbing is that there's this like now redirect of trying to say that no, actually, we're smarter than everybody else.
We finished 31st 4 years in a row.
We're smarter
than everyone else.
Right. Everyone is, when the trade happened, the Bowen Byram trade happened, it was the laughing stock of the entire league.
On the day that Mike Babcock was hired.
Yes.
Right. John, when it was floated out there, they were going to pay him $10 million a year, it was the laughing stock of the league.
Right. And now they're starting, you know, the pushback is, oh, well, you're hearing all this stuff. And Sam, we already talked about it. Oh, well, he's going to be a number one defenseman. He's playing in a team now where he's going to be the guy. He never had the chance before. You know, he's going to be comfortable, blah, blah, blah. And, the fourth overall pick wasn't that big of a deal. Like, look at who Buffalo drafted. There was it's not like Stenberg was there. You know, it's just like all this, like
it's opportunity cost. You could have used the Florida package for literally anything else.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too that I wanted to get to is that, you know, everybody's talking about, and we talked about this on the real show. You know, when they were looking around for a forward, and this Jason Robertson thing is not going to happen. It seems like he's got his heart set on Dallas, which not surprising to me in the least. I thought that him landing here was a far-fetched fever dream. Nyes in Toronto, you know, now it's, oh, well, the creep up there, he only wanted the fourth overall pick, but he was demanding that the Hawks include Frondell or Nazar with that. And everybody's like, oh, well, you can't do that. You can't do that. And I'm looking around saying, why?
Why can't you?
Why can't
Frondell,
you?
Frondell, I might blanch, but Nazar?
Yeah, that's where I am.
But Nazar
would... But they're about the same age, right? Like,
I would trade Nazar for sure, but I probably would not trade Frondell at this point.
But right. That's the position that the Hawks are in. You know, and you talk about they can't wait to tell you about how
deep... I
thought
it was Levshinov that they wanted.
No, they're not interested.
If they did, they probably would have made the deal.
That was when Trevelyan was the GM. Now that they have
Chayka.
Yeah, he was interested in apparently a forward.
Saw the analytics.
Yeah, he saw the analytics. Yeah. But if you're telling me that your pipeline is as deep as you're telling everyone, and the pervert on The Athletic who can't wait to rank the Hawks as the top farm system, and then we have to hear about how deep this Hawks system is and how they've got it set up for the next 10 years, and oh, just wait until the Hawks get good again. Like, they're going to have just waves of talent. Okay, if you have waves of talent, then trading Frondell or Nazar for an established NHL forward who's only 23 years old is not the end-all be-all. It's not like the end of discussion. You know, if these guys like Vaneker and Sacha Baron Cohen and whoever the hell else
John's
have,
Mustard?
Yeah, Mustard and other guys. Then it's not trading
for a big deal.
Right.
That's the point.
It's not a big deal. Then the because you're saying you have these other guys that are going to fill in the slots below, and it's not a huge dent.
It's
and
just
Frondell,
asset accumulation. It's not management at all.
Right. And
go ahead.
No, but I don't understand why. It just seems like there's this disconnect where it's like, well, you can't trade Frondell because he's too valuable to your team. But if you have the best pipeline in the league, supposedly, and you have all this young talent that can't wait to come through, then it's not that big of a deal to acquire a 23-year-old power forward who will immediately slot in on your top line with your star center.
It's exciting to think about all these young forwards who might come up. And then I think about Frank Nazar, who's already earned his big contract, who in 2 years has not figured out how to be even remotely consistent or useful. There's a lot to look forward to, John.
Right. We're gonna continue to point at these great 2 weeks that Nazar has through the course of a season and ignore the other 65 games where he's either invisible or has a broken jaw.
Well, I just love
or broken face.
Well, and on top of it too, I just love Kyle being a fucking sassy bitch saying, "Well, you'd be more excited about Roman Kantsarov if we traded for him rather than just coming up. Bitch, you haven't seen him at all."
Yeah, I'd be more excited if you watched one game of his in person, you dumb fuck.
I think this is my problem because it's one of my many problems, but all the Hawks Pravda, and that's the broadcast and everything else that comes out is
Chuggo
and Chuggo and Reddit, whatever else, is constantly beseeching the fan base to preach patience. You have to be patient. You have to let this develop. But their GM isn't following that. He couldn't hold his wad to sign Nazar to an extension last summer when he hadn't done anything. And look at how that went.
And he clearly panicked when he saw that the Sharks were maneuvering, that like it was clear that they were going to take Stenberg, despite what common knowledge seemed to say that they were going to draft for need at two.
Number two overall. Even make that just an element of it. And clearly he felt this pressure that he had to make some move. He had to make a big swing. But if the big swing isn't there, and you're telling people you got to be patient and it's all going to come together when we get more of these kids that I've drafted through, then you got to stick to that. And you can't force these big deals simply because you want to make one. You can't force these extensions simply because you want to make one. These kids have to earn that. And they haven't.
He hasn't earned his own extension. Why should anyone else?
Right, and the one who has earned it, they can't seem to sign for any reason. And now he biffed it because his shoulder exploded. So, like, he just felt like he had to do something, but that something isn't Bowen Byram. That's not the move. I would have rather they traded for Darnell Nurse.
I mean, that's what we get for making fun of the inevitability of Darnell Nurse. As we
Nurse is a better change of scenery candidate than Byram is. That doesn't mean Nurse is going to become a Norris candidate, but like, get him out of Edmonton, get him out of the pressure cooker, put him in a place where no one cares, because no one cares here. And, you know, maybe you get something. He's at least a second-pairing player.
He had a no move, though. He had a no move.
Okay. He waved it to go to San Jose. How much farther could the Hawks be down the list?
I mean,
I think they should be miles down the list, but I don't know.
That's what my scoffing was supposed to indicate.
Well, I think that's part of the problem too, is they can't, or Kyle or the organization in general can't sell what they're doing outside of the Reddit freaks and the state media. they can't sell it to anybody else.
Right.
Nobody else believes what they're doing.
And they
certainly can't convince anybody else to come here. I mean,
captain in waiting, like he should have by now.
Right.
You've had 366 days and counting.
He's too busy screaming in pain.
Who could forget? We were at this point last year. We were talking about Mitch Marner, and leading into free agency, it was the Hawks might be in play for Mitch Marner. The Hawks might be in play, and they were never even close. And Mitch Marner hung his not interested sign.
No one's interested.
Right? They can't sell what they're doing here.
Because it's BS.
Well, they're selling it to certain people, Andrew, but they're selling it to the members, and the members are buying it, which I guess
the members
for Danny, that's all that matters.
Clearly. I mean, not to get into a whole thing, but like, how does Danny allow, after everything that all the shit that he had to eat publicly and within his own family with Rocky, with his own father completely boning handling the Kyle Beach thing, how do you personally end up signing checks for Ian Cole?
Because Danny has no idea
Danny
doesn't know
idea
who
about...
Ian Cole is,
right?
Do you think Danny could name all the players on the Hawks?
From the 1991-92
season? Absolutely, he could name everyone from the 1991-92 season. Absolutely. But this team? I don't think he can. He's an absentee landlord! He has no idea what follows Ian Cole. I don't think Kyle has any idea what follows. They didn't do a Google search.
Well, I know that they're friends or like whatever, but how do you not ask at that presser yesterday anybody about that?
Oh, who's gonna ask?
You would think Lazarus wouldn't let it go with the
was he even there?
I don't know. You would think that he would want to be after.
He might be on vacation for all I know. You know, they trade off.
Still, I'd like everyone could do what they want with their money, but like clearly they don't care, and this is gonna be a dog shit product. So go if you want, but like they're paying a pederast, credibly accused.
The two aren't linked because I don't think it's justifiable in any sense. But like Ian Cole can't play.
Yeah,
and all he's doing is keeping Korchinski like from being on the ice. He's a turd on the ice and a turd
on and off the ice. He can't
if you don't
play.
Like his interest in young girls, there's also the fact that what he broke up a marriage or cheated on whoever the hell, whatever that thing was, that TV lady.
Abby Labar, who keeps yelling at Carolina? Me at 12:30
yes,
in the morning.
The Carolina thing. Huge, huge thing. Like he's a lightning rod for stupid shit. He's a stupid shithead. No matter what.
He's got a problem.
Wasn't that why
our
former roommate was defending Diana Rossini?
Yes, Sam. Yes, it was. Whatever the fuck her name is. Sarah something. Sivian. Complete weirdo.
Smoking salvia.
Just an idiot. Dumb idiots. And now that's on your team.
That's on your team.
We have to like look at that guy.
Well, whatever. The Hawks have no problem with piping a reporter, right? They've done that. One of what's his name is married to one.
No, I hear
Jen,
you. But
Jen is not a reporter, and she never was. But still, obviously, yeah, she was a member of the press, and they had, no one had any problem, tossing Cheryl Scott around. Oh, I'm sorry. Do I have to edit that out?
You don't edit anything out.
No, I
Cheryl Scott might be listening.
Yeah.
She's one of the 12.
She does name search on the former app known as Twitter, because when I would tweet about her, she would respond.
She'd get mad.
Yeah, she would get mad. She would send me frowny emojis.
Are you serious?
Yes.
What were you saying about her?
I don't even remember.
Calling her a pincushion, probably.
Yes, along those lines. Or the sweaty masses that would respond to her Facebook comments. Or, those lines. Yep. Yikes. She would name search herself. So she probably name searches herself on podcasts.
Well, it's not going to pop up here. We're not going to tag her.
No.
Like all the Hawks did.
No.
Getting good for her,
I don't know, Brett Sopel.
Yeah, that's
oof.
She made her way all the way up to Anthony Rizzo, though, if memory serves.
That was the rumor, yes.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
I always think of that woman from The Departed when I have to say allegedly. Allegedly.
Parody not actionable.
I always think of Tracy Morgan as Star Jones.
Now, I'm a lawyer.
All right. Well, we've descended into wandering wangs and pin cushions and
yep.
Everything else. I don't know.
They did
left.
This to us,
well,
Sam.
As,
they
as
did
mentioned
this to us
earlier and vaguely. Connor Bedard has a similar potentially. Also bad injury to his other shoulder as of as of today, the recording of today's show.
Literally an
hours before we came into the lab.
And again, like Sam said, it's 2.5 months before the season starts. But my point to Matt in the pre-show is he had a great start to last year, got hurt, came back, clearly still injured, and played mostly averagely for the rest of the season. What makes you think if he's healthy enough for the start of the season, he's not going to come back and just be kind of
nothing
for quite some time, if not the entire year?
Sam's got the loser hypothesis hanging over.
Even if he's healthy, he's going to get hurt again. He's a 5'8 center.
He's listed at 5'10, but still.
Uh-huh. I'm listed at 6'7.
That's a good joke for all you kids out there.
I didn't even mean it, but I guess it's subconscious.
Did that make it all the way to Norway, Andrew?
Of course.
Of course.
They actually give me a dirty look when I made the reference, so I think that's,
that's
it's over.
So at least it's passé there now, too.
Yeah, it's done.
He's a 5'8 center. He's never going to get through a season healthy.
Well, like I said, that's the guy your entire team is built around. And
well, no,
built
not
around,
anymore.
And your career is built around. Right. Sorry. Bonham Byram. Bonham Byram.
Benjamin Byram.
Benham Bonham is your future.
Him and Bedard are friends. Him and Bedard are friends, so it's fine.
Yeah, they're friends. It's fine.
They're all friends.
They're friends waiting in line at the bank and nowhere else.
These guys are friends. They love each other. They have a great time.
Right. You know, when I waste my time thinking about this team in my spare time, and I think about those constant sales pitches that Pang does about how good it's going to be.
Plenty of tickets
left. And they get that from every angle, and all they hear is how great you guys are going to be in 5 or 7 years. And they just believe they will just be great in 5 years, just because. No one's actually working toward it.
No, evidenced by acquiring Bowen Byram and not developing shit.
Nazar, Rinzel, Levshinov, everything this hinges off, they come back next season and look exactly the same. Nazar
That's my point. It's been 2 years of Nazar being the same, inconsistent, really ineffective guy. So my point to John's point earlier was, if you have this wave of talent, which you definitely do not, there is no wave of talent.
Correct.
I mean, there is on paper, but like, no, you got to develop it.
Like who? Like Sasha Bovair? What is he? He's nothing. He's barely a fourth line guy. He's not going to turn into a better
t-shirt.
Guy. He stinks. there's not guys coming in. You can just plug in. There's no one coming. Like my point is
you'd
that
be more
even
excited
if
they traded for him, Andrew,
even if there was, these guys take time unless they're a top two or three pick. And you don't have those. You have two of those.
You traded one away.
Everything else is going to take time and patience. This team is not going to be good for a long time.
This team is not going to be good.
It's
full stop.
I said to John today, if they fired Kyle tomorrow and brought in an actual run-of-the-mill GM, it doesn't even have to be a good one, a regular old
fucking
guy,
Yarmo,
you would be in a much better position much faster.
100%.
Well, I wouldn't want Yarmo, but...
You got a run-of-the-mill guy to smack some sense into them and tell them that they're not as great as they've been told and that nothing's going to be given to them.
Right, you're not going to notice.
Right, you're not going to magically get good just because of your draft pedigree or because of some pervert on The Athletic that ranked you as the top pipeline. None of that is promised. And I think if you got an adult in there,
or the 16-year-olds in your DMs, Ian Cole,
a run-of-the-mill GM, like Andrew said, I think you would. This whole thing would have a completely different outlook. Because
If you're gonna sign fucking Pederast anyway, just go get Dean Lombardi. He's not doing anything. I'm serious.
Well, and he'd smack some heads around, and you would have at least a team that could win some games.
Dean Lombardi is a lot of things. He's not a moron.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If this were Detroit, if this were Toronto, if this were Montreal, if this were New York, a serious hockey market, a real serious hockey market, how many hours after the Canes win the cup would someone have Danny Wirtz on the phone and be like, you hired Kyle Davidson over the guy who's currently holding the cup. Do you eat paint chips?
Yes, it would take 15 minutes.
15 minutes? 20
yes.
minutes?
Yeah. I mean, look at the rate. New York's a great comparison. I mean, New York is – I wouldn't even call it a pressure cooker of a market. But, I mean, they pay attention. But they couldn't wait to tell you about how their rebuild was going to turn things around, whatever. It was Jeff Gorton. And he got his ass fired within 15 minutes after that thing went tits up. So yeah. – you know,
is tits up another bottom two finish this year? Or is that
It already is. Well, they're just standing there in the same spot for 4 years.
I'm saying is that enough for Danny to get his face out of the pool of Qdoba queso and do something? Or is he just content with his members?
I don't know. I don't, we keep asking and we don't know. And Danny comes out for his biannual powwow and says, I'm on board with everything Kyle's telling me because he doesn't care to hear that it's not going well. And then he goes back in the pool.
I mean, he is handsome.
We don't know. We don't know what it will take. Because they could finish 31st again, but they'll have some one player's stats. They'll be like, well, this guy, see, everyone's growing. Everyone
right,
will
or they'll point to
this
a
guy.
Stretch that they had in November where they were, right on the cusp of the wild card.
5-3-2.
They were a point inside the playoff picture for 5 days in the first week of November, and they'll point to that. And then they'll lose 10 in a row.
Because Bedard gets hurt.
Injured. They're like, well, what could we do? Bedard got hurt. I don't know,
Ian Cole got hurt.
Who's the magic late March, early April signing this year?
Matt Grelchick's still available.
You know, is it Vanacker?
What's his face? Nestrasil when he's done.
Clearasil. They bring one of him in late March or November when they go out of the NCAA tournament.
I can't wait to watch that guy come in here at 6'5 or whatever he is and just get like handed to him on his first shift, flopping around like fucking Johnny Knoxville after getting hit.
But he'll score four goals in six games, and people are like, oh, see, now we're ready.
No, he won't.
Well, they're fucking whacking themselves over Nick Lardis's 10 goals. I got it right, Slack.
Good job. Yeah, I don't know. I
he
don't
had
know.
10 man. Goals in 40 games. He's ready to be a top six player for the next 10 years. Blow me. And I like Nick Lardis.
Yeah, it's not his fault.
Right. But whatever. I'm out of town stupid, despite growing up in Lakeview.
Well, I guess Ben Pope is also out of town stupid.
I guess Ben Pope is also out of town
He finally
stupid.
Said something today. I'll give him credit. The first beat writer. Well, I mean, just Lazarus was overly critical of the trade.
Anyone,
as well,
just go look at the forward depth chart on Puckpedia and tell me so if your bad. Eyes don't bleed.
It's so bad. This is not an NHL roster.
It's not an NHL roster.
And if one guy gets injured, it's even worse.
And that
the
guy got injured on July 2nd.
Dominic, yeah, the next guy up is Dominic Tonato. Tonato, whatever the fuck his name is.
The
Tonato.
Guy got injured in July.
That's
How
your,
do you get
that's
injured
your,
in July?
That's your
Dominic
guy.
Toretto. It's all about family.
I don't know, man. I don't get how anybody could look at this and think that there's anything worth being excited about, especially if Bedard is unable to lift his arms over his head for the rest of his life.
Well, I've got good news for everybody.
Okay.
Today is the day the Hawks go in the box.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Thank God.
Today's the day the podcast might go in the box. It might not ever come out.
Oh, Sam, don't say that. We're going to be cracking pads at the end of the month.
Yep, we're all waiting for it. Once it comes,
you're not going to be able to help yourself, Sam. Yep, the
juice
vibes
and
juice. Yep,
blowing.
I can talk about the Bears with you guys on the thread. I don't need to, you know, I don't have to share it with the public. They don't come. Do they come here for our Bears stuff? I don't even know.
Oh, they do.
I don't know either. Do they?
Oh yeah.
I don't think we've ever cared enough to ask.
Well, because we keep assuming no one listens to this.
Well, that's
I'm pretty sure
true.
No one does.
How are we going to find out? We can't get the numbers. No one knows.
I mean, we can. I just don't feel like it.
There you go. Well, that means we can't.
That means we can't. We are barred from getting it.
Yeah, that's it. Case We're closed.
Barred due to indifference.
Does any enterprise figure out how many people listen to this podcast?
Am I going to sell ads?
I don't fucking know.
Who said you have to sell ads?
Anyways, I was giving good news, Sam. I didn't mean to.
We can go Patreon and have to do this twice a week.
I didn't want to get you mad about something else, Sam. I was trying to cheer you up by saying the Hawks are going in the box.
And I
today.
Appreciate it, John. I really do. At the end of the day, I appreciate you. I'm glad you're around. I'm glad you do this with me. I'm glad I can yell at you on our text thread. Don't get me wrong. I'm in a mood.
Okay.
I'm in it
All
right. right now.
All right.
All right. I'm going to get to the Cretans. And then
oh,
we're
wait,
going to go
wait,
away.
Wait. You were going to tell me about my Golar fever, how I can cure it.
Was I? Oh, I just wanted, well, we were talking about your Golar fever.
Yeah, you said later we'll talk about your Golar fever. That was it? That was just a big tease? You don't have anything to say, really?
I'm not sure I did. Well, now I forgot.
Okay. I forgot.
I forgot.
Yeah.
Why don't you've got World Cup Golar fever?
I do.
What I was more. What is causing your Golar fever? What is? Who is the goaler?
Everybody.
The
everybody's making themselves look big in the crease.
Okay,
Sam.
So that see for the people who don't know on the real show, John thought the phrase whenever a broadcaster uses the phrase "makes himself big" would piss me off. I've never thought about it.
Well, honestly. They're saying it all the time now in this World Cup.
Well, how would you describe
you're not,
it?
You're watching the American broadcast.
You're cutting down the angle.
Mistake.
Yeah, you're cutting down the angle.
You're cutting down the angle, but you're also like spreading out.
Yeah. Well, you're cutting down the angle.
Okay. Okay.
But on Telemundo, John,
do they say
your
cutting down the
solved.
Angle in Spanish on Telemundo? I wouldn't know how to say it.
No, they're just saying they're making themselves look big on Telemundo too. I guarantee it.
Grande. Gigante.
Hace grande. Make big.
Well, Sam, how do
so
you
that's
feel
why
about
you've got Golar fever?
Yeah, no, I think the Golar play in this World Cup has been outstanding. I feel like it's better than it has been, other than the garbage is in Don's son. Everybody has played
that guy
really
from
well.
Congo stopped him with his penis.
Yes,
that's what it takes to win that cup,
right. Dr. Congo.
Get
Dr.
your wang
Congo.
Out.
No, I just feel like this World Cup, among others, I've seen more Golars stand on their heads than ever before. It seems like every game. Yeah. It seems like every game there's a goaler that's just playing out of his mind.
It's been a great tournament.
Other than the garbage Zindansson, which as I say this, they're about to kick off, so I'm sure he's going to have about 24 saves in this game against the Swiss.
Just batting away the Swiss left and right.
Yes.
That's not a good matchup.
It is not.
Sorry.
Is he even starting for them?
Who? The Zindansson?
The garbage Zindansson.
Yes, of course he is. He's
their
starting
goal. Him after his opening night.
No, doesn't it say at all that he's not good enough for France, that he had to go play for Algeria?
Sam, how do you feel about the 48 teams in the World Cup? Andrew, too, I guess.
I was very anti it before the tournament, but I have to admit it has mostly worked out.
Yes and no.
Yes and no, but I find it funny that the no part of it is the crap-ass European teams. Got in.
There's too many.
There's too many of those. But like 9 of 10 qualified. You can't say like, oh, they expanded too far and put too many African teams because they're actually all good.
What the tournament needs is more Costa Ricas and Honduras's. Let's slop it up. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Costa Rica wasn't even close to qualifying.
We need to really CONCACAF this thing up. That's what the people need.
I mean, the tournament's been very CONCACAF-y anyway.
It could be so much more CONCACAF-y.
Right. They need shitty fields.
Yes.
And refs obviously on the take, not just incompetent.
People just kicking the shit out of each other. Very violent. That's the stuff.
That's the stuff. Can I get to the greens now, John?
Fine.
So I have a couple. I know Slack said he had a couple.
Yep.
I already responded to him, but we'll do it on the show. Ignore this. Skeet Medblurg. He's a longtime guy, right? Is he someone else? Was he someone else on Twitter?
No. Good luck with your first crap.
He's been around. In honor of InfoWars going live, the video of Bedard injury actually was AI generated. What do you think really happened?
Celebrini dog walked him during the drill, and they're just too embarrassed. So they said you broke your shoulder.
I think he said it's going to cost you $18 million a year for my shoulder to feel better.
We didn't even get to that, Sam, by the way, about even before the Bedard injury, about this bizarre contract negotiation for
all the RFAs, all the...
It is strange. I would say all of them are strange, yes.
In the real show, I posit the theory that Fantilli and Carlson are waiting for Bedard because he's the number one pick, and he has more points than they do, and he's still considered the best. They're waiting for him to sign, and there's just something strange going on with Bedard and the Hawks, because they've had, as Matt points out, they've had 366 days to figure this out, and they haven't. Now, I want to believe, this isn't necessarily what I believe is happening, but I want to believe the Hawks have an 8-year deal out there, and Bedard is like, I will sign for 4. And if you aren't going to do anything in the next 2 years, I'm out of here. Because I will be you unrestricted free agent. I'm not going to sign you. But no one knows. Everyone's like, oh, it's going to get done. And then it doesn't get done.
And then nobody says anything. Well,
and both Celebrini and Bedard think the other's going to set the market for them and they can ask for more.
And then Davidson came out today, or his press conference for Byram, is like, yeah, I don't know, it's not there.
Yeah, he's like, it was kind of like, I don't want to talk about it.
Right.
Which is, again,
he gave him the Reg Dunlop. Yeah, we're working on it.
Now, if Bedard's agent really wanted to apply pressure, he would be whispering to someone, but he's not. Who is Bedard's agent? Do we know?
Yeah, he called my brother. Remember.
Right.
Puckpedia. Hold on.
I have his phone number if you'd like.
Can we get him on the show?
Yeah, we'll ask
maybe
him.
Yeah.
We are now the insiders.
Yeah, I'll have him send a text. Hey, what's going on with this thing?
Yeah. Come on our podcast. I'll see him on Saturday. At least 8 people.
I'll see him on Saturday. I'll say, hey, let's send your buddy Bedard's agent a quick, hey, what's the deal here?
Why isn't Connor signed yet?
Greg Landry, not to be confused with former Bears OC, Greg Landry.
Ugh. Jesus.
Oh, that was
some bad memories.
Yeah.
He does not have a lot of other clients of note either.
Maybe it's becoming apparent why.
I don't know. Is Fraser Minton or
How did he land Bedard?
Family friend? Who knows? You could tell me that Fraser Minton was good, and I would just say, I'm sure he is. I have no idea.
You could
idea.
Say the same thing to Kyle Davidson, and he'd believe you, too.
I have no idea who players are anymore.
17 goals for the Bees this year.
You know, if I were Hawks GM, I would just go up to fucking Danny's office and talk about fake players.
Steve McDykel. Dwight Rorschigal.
Just say, oh, he's like Steve Thomas back in 93, and fucking Danny would lose it. Oh, we gotta have a new Stumpy.
Yeah, we could never replace him after we got rid of him.
Right. We gotta have him.
Yeah, I mean, it's strange. The whole thing is weird, and especially because he needs a new contract to play next season.
Right, this could conceivably spill into training camp.
Yeah, I mean, it's something like this, not to compare it to the McDonough days, it would have never have gotten to this point.
Never would have happened. How close does it have to get to training camp before someone goes, hey, wait a minute. do you have to be within a month of training camp where someone's like, you know what? He can't be at training camp.
Yes, I would say, Sam, if it gets to August and there's
still
nothing.
Well, he won't be because he's hurt.
Yeah, he can't be at training camp because he's physically unable.
Is that their out? Is that their cover?
Well, that's the thing, too, is I don't want him to be hurt because I don't want Kyle to have the fucking excuse. We get another year of
horseshit. He's got to be there. He's got to be there. You can't be the captain of the team and not be at training camp because you're a contract holder.
The other problem with him not being at training camp.
We're about to find out.
Yeah.
Let's say he signs. The other problem with him missing training camp, I forgot to say this because Sam goes, who cares, is that he's supposed to be developing chemistry with whoever his line mates are supposed to be, including the Russian guy that nobody knows anything about.
Right.
That not happening
with
is
either,
bad.
Too.
Very yes. bad.
Yes. Yes. That's the other thing that I wanted to get to was Kyle's comments about, well, you know, we're going to have Bedard and Kanserov play together at training camp. Well, so you're going to have a magic training camp where they're just going to suddenly gel? And then
together.
Yeah.
We're back to magic training camp. How do we get back on magic training camp?
It's not how it works. It's just not, you don't just like put two guys. I mean, I guess like in the city that people will fall for it because you had Kane and Panarin and it worked out. Right.
Yeah.
Because,
but they were both MVP level players.
Yes. So
don't worry, we have waves of them coming.
Right. Right. And it, everybody just works out like Kane and Panarin. That's why, you know, everybody has a top line with 100 points.
They're going to wheel him on the ice in a half body cast, the top half, and like go skate with Kanserov. I can't hold a stick. It doesn't matter. Get out there.
You got to learn his
chemistry.
Yes. You got to learn how he thinks.
Learn traits.
Yes. And well, we don't have Mikheyev anymore. He's not going to be your Russian buddy for him. So,
yeah, they're one Russian short.
So
Kanserov won't have the ability to make friends at all because he won't know another Russian guy.
Right. Yep.
He's got Levshinov, but he might show up to camp and be like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
He's like, this guy doesn't speak any language. What is this guy's
right.
problem?
What am I doing here?
Who is this?
What is this? This is the dumbest guy I've ever met.
All right, we're off the tracks now.
He invited me over to eat rocks.
But no, that was a good question because it got us talking about things that we meant to talk about.
We meant to talk about. Good job, Mebler.
Now we've covered it all.
Mayday, Tick the Tunic. I believe it, first time? New guy. I'm proving someone listens to this bullshit. Which trade or signing related to a Chicago team pissed each of you guys off the most? Oh, boy, this could be a whole show in itself.
Like any team?
Any Chicago team, apparently. My first heartbreak was Rick Vive for Adam Creighton. Anyone who's followed me for a while knows that. Ah, jeez. Oh, God, this is... Oh, man. This is... There's just so many.
Did he say that the Rick Vive for Adam Creighton was his, or was that...
That's mine. That's
okay.
mine.
Okay, I thought that maybe you guys had the same heartbreak.
Rick Meyer was up there.
Sorry, I missed the question. What is it? Rick's we don't like?
No. Which trade or signing from any Chicago team pissed you off the most?
Trade or signing? That's like a ridiculous question. There's so many.
Yeah, whatever the most recent
there's,
one. That's
not not everyone makes you like memorably angry. Maybe.
I don't know. I've got a lot with the Hawks, and they're all fucking bums. I mean, Nick Foligno we called right away.
Yeah, but that wasn't like Rick Meyer was like a franchise turning bad move. Like the Hawks would have sucked with Nick Foligno or not. Like that's
the Cubs signed Jose Guzman to a 4-year, $15 million contract. That's mine.
Did they think it was Juan Guzman when they were signing him?
I thought it would be Juan Guzman, but it certainly was not.
No, it wasn't.
I wished it was. That guy
Who's
was
Rick Meyer? Oh, the Bears quarterback.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah, that's
the
pretty
White
bad.
Sox, you blocked it out, the John, White Sox bringing in Will Cordero after the fact, even at a young age, I knew was bullshit.
Those off the top of my head. there's so many, but like Rick Meyer and Jose Guzman, Sky Point.
Andy Dalton.
Andy Dalton, boy, Slack was on one that night.
Yeah, that made me mad too.
Yeah, I was mad, but then I realized that the jokes were good, so it's kind of worth it.
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the Andy Dalton thing, it was because of what the whole thing represented and what we were in for, which we knew what we were in for, and we didn't want to go through it, but we went through it anyways. I'm trying to think. There's just so many, but like...
The Roenick trade, obviously, was... But like, that was coming. Oh, we had like 2 years to prepare for that.
Yeah, that was a bad one. The other thing, too, that I was really mad about at the time... Not so much because of getting rid of the player, but because of the fact that they just completely destroyed his value and gave him away for nothing when they didn't have to, was the Nick Swisher trade. When just because Kenny and Ozzy couldn't stand him, they decided to trade him for three guys from the Yankees who were complete fucking garbage. And then told everybody about...
He had to go, though.
He did, but you could have gotten something for him. It was my point, is that he still had value. I mean, he was an important part of a World Series team for the Yankees, and they couldn't wait to tell you about how they got him for free from the White Sox.
Right.
So you could have still traded him for something that you could have used other than Jeffrey Marquez and Wilson Bedemit.
We're leaving out the Belfort trade, which was horrific.
Yeah, I think that really scarred Andrew the most, young Andrew, because he's still bothered by Jeff Hackett.
Three guys who couldn't play dead.
Ulf
they got the
Dahlin.
Wrong Sikora.
Yep, the wrong Sikora. Ulf Dahlin.
The corpse of Ulf Dahlin. I don't even remember what the third guy was, but I don't even think he played a game.
Nope.
Oh, God, yeah, that. Like, you know, Roenick, that sucked. We knew that was coming. And, like, Chelios, okay, there wasn't much you could do. You sort of bellyached
his
way.
The Sharp trade was pretty brutal, even though we knew it was coming.
It was a year too late.
But you ended up having to give away Steven Johns, who ended up being too ouchy.
He couldn't play anyway.
He could, but he was too ouchy.
Yeah,
too
he was
big.
Too dingy.
He had too many moving parts, Dusty. He's a big guy. and then you get right. Trevor Daly and his wad coming back.
Oh, I wish he'd been a Hawk longer just to have John comment on Trevor Daly some more. That was the best.
John, well, you know, Trevor Daly Jr. is coming through the pipeline here. He's going to be a top draft.
Stuff?
No, Trevor Daly Jr.
His
the actual
kid.
Yeah, his actual kid is.
Does he have a thing of chaw while he plays too?
I think so. I think he's going to be draft eligible in the next couple of years, and they're saying he's going
to
be
Trevor
a top
Daly
pick.
is very comparable to Johnny Oduya. He should play the same game. Oh yeah, why is that? Why are you making that comp?
Yeah, why do you think that should be?
He's a black.
I don't know where you call him from. Black. All right. Russ Perlman, definitely a long-time guy. Since the Canes won the Cup and can no longer be banned, who's the next team threatening to be banned, and can it be England? Sure. Like, why not?
No.
Croatia's banned. Croatia is banned.
I don't think bans apply to World Cups because it's only every 4 years. You have to be annoyed by their presence every year.
No, yeah. Croatia is annoying every 4 years.
Yeah, but Croatia, like, getting to the semifinals is like a miracle in itself.
But they've done it multiple times, Sam. I feel
yeah,
like
every... that's like amazing.
Yeah, but I'm tired of it. So they're banned.
Well, you don't have to worry yeah. about it now.
No, I don't.
Take in the a NHL, hike. Who's the next banned team in the NHL?
Dallas?
That's tough.
Yeah, yeah. Dallas,
Minnesota, has Minnesota already been banned?
Yeah, oh, Minnesota's yeah. already banned. Yep. They've been banned for a while.
They've been
yeah.
banned since the fucking Suter-Parisi failed experiment.
Yes, correct. Minnesota, Wild.
And Dallas. Those two Dallas. Central teams were banning.
Yes. And the Predators. Basically the entire
yeah, Central. You don't have to worry about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, only they're, the, always, only... they're the worst team in the league, yet they're like so much better than the Hawks.
They're so much better. People
want to go there. Yeah, people want to go there. I wonder why.
Bachelorette party.
This isn't a question, but from Bobby Otter, our guy. I've started letting my 11-year-old listen to this podcast.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for giving this 11-year-old Chicago sports fan stuck in Toronto a real taste of Chicago sports fandom. I mean, I guess that's true.
That's
Jesus. Anyway, now I have
all
to
right, that's two listeners, Sam. Add them to the count.
Anyway, and we got the young generation. So
now I have to explain to him why AEW is better than WWE. I'll hang up and listen. Oh wait, no, we have to explain to him why AEW is better than WWE.
Better wrestling. Better
wrestling's
wrestlers.
Better. The story's better. It's a better company. I don't know how else to dress this up for you.
They aren't in bed with this administration. They aren't run by
Saudi Arabia.
Trafficking Saudi Arabian right. bone sawing freaks. I think that's a lot. That's a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway. They actually partner with other promotions instead of pretend like they're the only company. That
you will learn a lot about Japan and Mexican wrestling, which is awesome.
There you go.
So there you go. Anyway, those are all I have.
Andrew, did you?
But I do worry about your son, Bobby Otter. I don't know that that's the right choice for him, for you to let him hear this. This is not. We're not for the kids.
I got three. One of they're pretty niche. One of them, obviously, I'm going to answer and then shut down quickly. ignore this skeet. Again, with
boy, he's Cubs, busy.
Is Cubs Corner back on? If so, has there been a bigger heater in Chicago sports history than Dansby's? Cubs Corner is not back on. If so, question is, I saw an article today from one of those freaks in The Athletic that apparently he's on a heater of the level of, I think, like three guys, and they're all in the realm of Lou Gehrig or something. So
right.
Which, I guess like, no.
20 RBI in a week or something? It's
something stupid.
It's ridiculous.
26, I think? It's ridiculous. Anyway, no. So moving on. Greedy McDonuts asks, since the Hawks do everything wrong, what's the next direction of the podcast? Sam's Devils, Illini Corner, Jam Bands, All Ricketts All the Time, or Jim Belushi Fan Club?
I don't
none
want to answer
is
this.
The answer. None. Yeah. Bears. And then finally, this one's probably only for
on air ritual
and I.
suicide.
John, Traitor's Corner.
Uh-huh.
I guess anyone can answer this, but I don't think Sam or Matt has ever seen the show.
I have not, no.
And John, Traitor's Canada, all three seasons are on Peacock, by the way.
Okay.
We've made it through season one and part of season two so far.
Wow.
Traitor's Corner. Traitor's Canada, this is from Sarcastic Mike. Traitor's Canada hasn't yet had a single former NHL player as one of their celebrities. Is this a bigger indictment of this version of the show being bad, or of Canadian hockey players having all the personality of a rotting tree stump?
Yes, the rotting tree stump.
Yes, the rotting tree stump for sure.
Yeah,
it'd be Canadian fun to have one on, but people they have on are like, they have this guy who's like a magician. They have like a psychic, like every season has a psychic who's an idiot.
The Canadian like, hockey players would just want to fight everybody.
Yeah, that's why they should be on the show.
Like fight, like it would just be like, I'm going to beat you up.
Yes.
Yeah.
Give me that on TV.
You want that.
I do.
But then they would just get voted out right away.
But it'd be entertaining.
The magician would get the troops and vote them out.
I mean, the magician would pull the wool over the eyes of the hockey player in no time. Just outsmart that third grade educated moron
yes.
in 2 seconds.
This reminds me, I have to finish off the last episode of Last One Laughing.
Oh, do you ever watch what's the other one? Would I Lie to You?
No, but it has been recommended to me by my Bears friend, and he says it's if you're a Taskmaster person, it's like a natural following.
I've seen the clips and they're pretty
yeah, funny. They show up on my Instagram all the time. It's all the people I recognize from Taskmaster. So
I don't understand what the British comedians have figured out that we just don't seem to understand.
Just keep showing up and being together and they'll pay you, I guess.
And they're actually funny, though. I don't know if we have those. Do we have any of those anymore? I don't think we do.
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm talking to a couple friends who are still in the comedy scene. It sounds pretty rotten at the moment.
It does not sound good.
Unless
you're Rory Scovel. That guy is outstanding. Very funny. That's all I got.
Matt, do we have anything on the main line?
Yeah.
On the hotline?
Couple two tree.
Longtime guy, Mike Presnowski, favorite Sky Point, Kyle Calder / ABC line memory.
Oh, jeez.
His beautiful jersey.
John probably remembers when he was drunk at some youth game.
Well, yeah, every time he was there.
didn't he score an overtime goal against Detroit when they'd lost like 12 in a row to like break the streak?
They always played really well against Detroit in general, that line.
Right, but like they'd set like a franchise record for lost in a row. This was like the bottom.
Yes,
the early
2000s. I think you're right. Yeah, yeah.
And he scored the overtime. It was like on ESPN. I remember this. I was working in a bar. It was on ESPN, so it was a home game that was on TV because they couldn't black out like national TV games.
Those were special events.
They were.
ESPN was like, well, fuck, we're putting this team on our broadcast who have lost 11 in a row, 12 in a row. I forget what it was. And, like, all in regulation. Like, they weren't even getting a point. Like, they were just losing.
And I don't think the loser point was a thing at that point.
It wasn't a loser point back then, I guess. But, you know, and but he scored an overtime winner to break the streak. And that's, honestly, that's like the only thing I remember about his playing career. I mean, it's not that he was a bad player. He was just on some horrible teams, never played in a game that mattered. I was barely watching.
Yep. And he would just, his skill set wasn't all that aesthetically pleasing.
No, he was on a good team, he would have been a fourth liner, maybe.
Right. When he played for Philadelphia, that's what he was.
That's what he was.
Yeah.
He was in LA also, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I have his Calder Coho jersey in my closet. And
again,
I should retract the statement about him being drunk at youth hockey games. Obviously, there's some issues there, and they probably took their toll, and that's not very sensitive of me, and I apologize.
No, you're fine. You're fine, Sam. No need to retract it.
Andrew wore his Kyle Calder Coho to the postgame revelry at the Whirlway in 2015.
He did. And that's actually the last time I saw Slack.
But that's I think part of it too is that was the initial Hawk State media. I mean, that was the, you know, when they were trying to rebuild through the youth. I mean, it was again, like, think about it. Like, Mike sent in this question about the Kyle Calder ABC line. You know, they couldn't wait to shove that down our throats, and those guys sucked eggs.
But no one was buying that even at the time.
No, I remember people were working in the city back then, and I remember that they had players walking around downtown handing out free tickets.
Yep,
right.
Right. It was different because the Hawks weren't as successful. They're still living off of the success from the decade before.
Even me, John, who actually did watch and were Hawks fans, when they were selling the ABC, like, these guys aren't. Come on.
Yeah. I mean, that was 10 years after the 91-92 season, at a minimum.
So bad. Anyway, what's
I guess that? we're 10 years plus after the last cup, so I guess we're there.
Yes, we are.
Good times.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe it's a more gullible public.
Last playoff series win.
It's a more gullible public, apparently.
They have not won a playoff series. Sorry, fuck the bubble. It doesn't count. Literally since
that wasn't even technically a playoff series. It was a play-in series.
They have not won shit since McDonough called it Camelot, which, with zero irony, even as a proud Irish Catholic, he didn't. All right.
Moving on.
We've got kind of two of the same vein here. The children demand it. They want baseball corners. Michael H. Hanny 88. Quick question: is this recent surge of offense from the Cubs, make them contenders or pretenders. He also wants mine and John's thoughts on the South Side Nine, and Amy's favorite, the guy with the Caleb Jones avatar. How red and nude is John about the White Sox right now? This is our nation's litmus test. I can tell you right now, he's not very red or nude given the outcome of tonight.
Yeah, well, he's not talking about that.
Well, yeah, not talking about it, not tuning in, so it doesn't happen, so I don't know.
Yeah, Guardians are a non-starter.
I honestly haven't gotten to watch much of the Cubs since the past 3 weeks, but I will say they were always contenders. It depends how you define contenders. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs.
I would say if you're 11 games over 500 and you have no pitchers, you're probably a pretty baseline decent team.
Right. So they're decent.
The problem is, that you're going to run up against somebody that there's like two teams you're going to run up against at some point.
But
maybe
they can
both
beat Milwaukee over five games. It's five
yes,
games.
Of course. Of course they can beat Milwaukee.
Well, everybody beats Milwaukee when it's playoffs.
Right. Exactly. That's not the team I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Dodgers. I'm talking about the Braves.
Well, the Braves are in a free fall.
That Braves thing
own.
Is
the
a
Braves yeah. stink.
That's a fraud.
Okay, yeah, that's
really
apart.
It's really just they are garbage. Okay. They've lost.
So then basically it's one team. It's the Dodgers.
Yeah. Well, they'll probably lose to the Dodgers.
Right.
Of course.
Everyone's going
to lose
today?
To the Dodgers. It's just not.
Well, I saw the propaganda on the MLB Network, the salary cap ad. Have you seen this? You guys see this?
Have you heard about this?
I don't get that channel.
MLB TV. If you we have it for free on TV Mobile, and if you have at least the app and you have it on your TV between innings, there's this like MLB produced propaganda ad about all these fans, with all these fans talking about how baseball needs a salary cap, and it's their attempts to win the PR war, I guess. But like every proposal they put out there, everyone's like, "Well, geez, that's terrible." Anyway, anything left on the hotline?
And with regard to the White Sox, all I can say is that we've had discussions about going to a game as a group. So the fact that I'm willing to go back.
I will tell you, Michael H. Is that who asked this? Michael H.
Well, and Amy's favorite.
Amy's favorite. John may say he didn't watch tonight. And he won't watch all weekend because they're playing Cleveland. But he is sending stuff to the main show. He sends stuff to me privately about the White Sox. So he might not be fully nude and red, but like the shirt is off and he's like a pinkish hue.
Yeah. They're a lot of fun to watch when they're playing at home. When they're on the road, it's still a suffer ball. But when they play at home, it's pants off, running nude with the lightsaber style, fun baseball that we don't get to experience very often. So I do enjoy it when they play at home. But on the road, it's a tough watch, as they say in the old country.
All right. Last one, quick one. If you hit, couldn't be a show without a Usutis.
Mm-hmm.
Brian would like to know, if you had to go to the same restaurant for lunch 250 days in a row, what would it be?
Pita Inn, baby.
Charcoal Delights.
I was just going to say Charcoal Delights too, because they're the menu is extensive. You got options. Got a lot of
That's
options.
That's the same thing with Pita Inn.
You got a lot
Pita Inn's got a lot of options.
250 days in a row.
Why 250?
Who knows?
Celebrating
for
America.
Oh, right.
Let's say Charcoal Delights be high on the list. Jack in the Box, because they have such a wide menu. But I guess they can't do that here.
What are you getting that's like, even remotely... Yeah, I don't know.
Culver's could be up there too, again, due to the expansiveness of the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Does Culver's have a soup?
Yes.
No, they do?
They do.
What's Matt would know.
Soup of the day.
So it's different?
Yep.
Much All like right, the Culver's, custard. Culver's is a contender. I feel like you got to have a soup.
I'm going to say Potbelly.
A lot of permutations.
A lot of permutations at a sub joint. I can go in and out of getting a milkshake. I can get a soup.
You can get your salad too.
I can get my salads.
Yeah, the farmhouse.
There's like five sandwiches of theirs that I really like, so I could rotate.
Yell at Laura Jane Grace on your way in and out.
I didn't yell at her. I was just, but now I might yell at her.
You were in a
hurry. Now Potbelly. Now Sam, you would know. You're Mr. Chicago.
I am.
Is Potbelly was a Chicago creation,
yep,
correct?
Lincoln Park.
Lincoln Avenue.
Yep.
Okay. That was the first one?
Yep.
Yeah, like still Lincoln there? And Webster, right?
Lincoln between Belden and Webster, yeah.
Do they still have the singer?
I don't know.
Everyone's got, they've gotten rid of the singers at all locations.
I hope that they.
No, I remember the first time I had it, or one of the first times, was the one in the WLS building on State Street. That was the first.
My favorite Potbelly moment is when I was temping and I was working downtown one day, and I went to one location. I think it was on Wabash, but you know, it was really busy. It's lunch hour, so you kind of just take any seat that's open, even if you're sitting next to strangers. And I had, this is back when I had an iPod, and so I sat down, and I sat down next to this woman. She kind of smiled at me. I put my iPod down, and I wasn't really looking, and the song had kind of a long intro, and she looked at my iPod and got up disgustedly. And then I looked, because the song hadn't really started, and I saw it was Hooker with a Penis by Tool, and she saw that on the iPod and was like, I can't sit next to this guy.
Yeah, no.
Whoops.
Whoops. Anyway, well, that tells you, pretty much my history with women.
Yes.
She would have found out eventually.
She would have found out eventually.
Get it out of the way.
All right. So that is it. I'm tired of this. So we're leaving. We are going to take our July hiatus. I don't know exactly when we'll be back. I would say I don't know if we'll be back, but these guys are going to make me do this for the Bears, so we'll be back.
Oh, stop. We're not twisting your arm. You're going to love it.
Anyway.
We got our best show of the year coming up.
Yeah, we're already back with Mark Schlereth saying Caleb
Williams.
Yeah,
by the time we
do
that, maybe Bedard will have two shoulders.
Maybe. He'll still be in the box at that point.
Oh yeah. So for John, for Slack, for Matt, I am Sam. Thank you so much for listening and downloading. Please rate, review, share, and subscribe. Until next time, Top Guys out. Yeah, tonight, let's go.